Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. We're talking some Packers football this morning. Lots to talk about today. I'm sure a majority of the conversation will center around the new signing of Packers running back Cedric Benson, the former Chicago Bear, the former Cincinnati Bengal. Interesting signing, to say the least. We're going to be talking about the cornerback competition. Casey Hayward is your starter for the time being during training camp. Don't know how long that'll last. Could last indefinitely. And the left tackle situation, I think, is a little bit interesting as well. So let's get to it. If you want to talk about today's topics, by all means, feel free to tweet away. If you tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, those comments will show up on our live blog. I'm not sure your comments are being approved this morning, so feel free to tweet away, and you'll join the dialogue, or feel free to use that Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player as well, and you can guide the discussion on this morning's show. All right, let's get to it. Cedric Benson, the newest member of the Green Bay Packers, signs a contract officially yesterday, a one-year contract worth the NFL's veteran minimum, I think somewhere in the realm of a little over $800,000 for the year with no guaranteed money. At least that's the report. So the Packers have very little invested in Cedric Benson. If it doesn't work out, they can cut him and lose really nothing as long as they cut him before the start of the regular season with no guaranteed money involved. So there's little risk involved in the signing unless if you keep him on the roster and then all of a sudden he gets injured for the year or something. Then you're tied into his contract. But anyway, so do we like this signing? Do we not? There's been a lot of debate about it. And you know, I've been on Twitter and I've kind of said some questionable things about Cedric Benson or questioning the signing of him. But in all the truth, and here's my feelings about it, you know, I'm really kind of indifferent to the signing in terms of if you look at him versus Ryan Grant. I mean, that's what the whole debate has been about. Should they have signed Ryan Grant, who's been with the Packers for the last several seasons, or go and sign Cedric Benson? You know, the reality of the situation is the Packers had to do something. Whether or not you agree with them signing Cedric Benson or not, the Packers had to do something at the running back situation. They went into last week's preseason game with only three halfbacks, and basically all of them were dinged up with that. And then after that Chargers preseason game, now James Starks is out with a turf toe injury. He's week to week, and I tell you, that's disappointing in itself. James Starks cannot seem to stay healthy to save his life and perhaps save his roster spot. I don't know if his roster spot's in jeopardy, but James Starks cannot stay on the field whatsoever. Alex Green is coming off a ACL tear from a year ago. He's being brought back slowly. Brandon Sane, it appears he's out for this week, could come back next week. Mark Tyler and Dwayne Bennett, the two undrafted rookies, have both been banged up from time to time. Bennett is out. Tyler's playing, but he did have a shoulder injury earlier in training camp. So the Packers had to do something. They had to at least sign a camp body. I mean, if nothing else, they would have had to have signed an undrafted rookie free agent just to, you know, fill the void, and so the Packers have some running backs available for their next game on Thursday. You know, thankfully, none of these injuries seem too serious right now. You know, the ones to James Stark, Brandon Sane, Michael Bennett, or Dwayne Bennett, I'm sorry. You know, they could all be ready by the regular season, but still, you know, along with the whole rest of the Packers roster, dinged up, banged up, you name it. And so the Packers had to do something. You know, from a talent standpoint, I was indifferent to the Cedric Benson signing as compared to Ryan Grant. Cedric Benson, fourth overall draft choice of the Chicago Bears, what are we talking, 7 years ago? You know, first round draft pick, uber talented player. No denying that, but the negatives to Cedric Benson: been arrested four times, has been suspended by the NFL for one game, so nothing too big. But if he ever gets suspended again, you can expect it's going to be a lot longer. He's a guy who's, if I'm correct, his career average is 3.8 yards a carry, so not even averaging 4 yards a carry, and he's a high fumbler. Has fumbled, I think, what is the number, 12 times just in his past 3 years with the Bengals, I think the number is. So these are the negatives with Cedric Benson, and okay, the positives are he's a guy who is relatively healthy and available. And you know what? I think the Packers value that more than a lot of other teams. It seems like the guys they sign in like free agency, things like that, no matter who they are, they're guys who are always healthy, do not have a history of spending time on the disabled list. Not to say that holds true for every signing they make, but when they bring in people from the outside, that seems to be the route they take. Cedric Benson, he's rushed for 1,000 yards the past three seasons. Totally acknowledge that. You don't do that by accident. And apparently fairly good in pass protection. Now let's compare that to Ryan Grant. His positives... he has been a productive back, a two-time 1,200-yard rusher twice in his NFL career with the Packers. He's a good in-between-the-tackles runner, kind of a short yardage guy, can really bang up the middle if you need him. Your negatives with Ryan Grant, he's not a burner, he's not fast. Not a threat out of the backfield, not particularly good in pass protection, and not particularly healthy. He's had his own health issues, although he was healthy all last year for the most part. Going back to Ryan Grant's positives, also a true good guy, a guy who's never been in trouble with the law, involved in the community. He's leaps and bounds above Cedric Benson from that standpoint. Ryan Grant last year, over the last five, six games of the year, James Starks is dinged up. Ryan Grant averages 5.5 yards a carry over the last few games of last season. Not over the course of the whole season, but the last few games when Starks was banged up. Just when you consider the positives and the negatives, really, to me, I don't see a whole lot of difference between Cedric Benson and Ryan Grant. I really don't. That's just me. But, it's about a horse apiece. And, all things being equal, I probably would re-sign Grant ahead of Benson, for the simple fact that he knows the Packers offense intimately. Even if you were to sign Ryan Grant now, it's not like he needs a whole lot of time to get caught up on the Packers offense. He can step in there by Thursday and be available as long as he's healthy, and no reason to think he's not. And he's not, there's no potential for, being in trouble with the law or anything like that with Ryan Grant. He's a good locker room presence, things like that. And, with Cedric Benson, you can't say that. One arrest with Cedric Benson, no matter what it is, one arrest for whatever it could be, even saying minor, would probably negate the whole worth of his, bringing him in. So, all things being equal, I would sign Ryan Grant. But like I said, from a talent standpoint, I don't see a whole lot, different between the two. Now we can get into the whole behind the scenes thing. I've heard some people make the argument that this can go back to, you know, the summer of 2008 when Ryan Grant probably got a bigger contract than he should have from the Packers, because that was the summer of Brett Favre. That whole situation was going on. Ryan Grant probably got more than he deserved, took more from the Packers than they were probably, you know, wanted to give. And so, you know, there were things said in the paper with, how did it go down? You know, Grant's agent pointing fingers at the Packers contract negotiator, Russ Ball. You know, it got a little bit ugly. But, you know, I think that's largely water under the bridge. And you know, what people sometimes, I think, forget to point out is last season, Ryan Grant willingly took a pay cut to stick around with the Packers, because he was not, you know, he was not holding up his end of the bargain as far as that original 2008 contract he signed. And, you know, that was probably very tough to swallow for Ryan Grant, taking a pay cut. So, you know, I think it equals out to an extent a little bit. You know, is that enough? Is there enough hard feelings that they're not going to re-sign Ryan Grant because of that? You know, who knows? We'll never know, perhaps. You know, the only people who can answer that is Ted Thompson, Russ Ball, maybe, Mike McCarthy. Unless I get to ask him that question, it's going to remain to go unanswered. You know, perhaps, too, Ryan Grant's agent had said in interviews with the media that a lot of it had to do with financials. You know, he doesn't want a veteran's minimum deal. And I don't know if that's just making excuses, that's just agent talk, but it's rather ridiculous. And you know, I think that's what Cedric Benson was probably hoping for as well, but didn't get it. You know, I can't blame the Packers for not wanting to pay these guys anything more than the veteran's minimum, or at the, you know, the very minimum, a small bonus of guaranteed money, or, you know, some hard to reach incentives, things like that. So, you know, I really don't think this is going to be, it's big news today. In a month's time, I don't think it's going to matter. You know, that there are some concerns about James Starks, whether he's worthy of being the Packers' starting running back. But, you know, I like Alex Green. I like Brandon Sane. It's unfortunate that these guys are either injured or coming back from injury. But by the time the regular season starts, I'm just not sure this is going to be a big deal. I see the concern on the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player, Chad Taporsky, saying, not sure the live blog is working right. It's not been picking up the tweets. Yeah, I'm not sure what the deal is. I can see the tweets underneath the Twitter widget, you know, but for some reason, we're not getting tweets picked up on the live blog. Not sure the reason. Tweets are not being approved today. We're just, I'm a one-man show today, and I apologize, folks. But I can't host a podcast and being approving comments all at the same time. So you're going to have to bear with me. But I do see people chiming in on the dialogue box underneath the Twitter widget. And just a Bob, you know, checking in several times, comments on Cedric Benson here, saying Benson has a reputation for pass protection. We talked about that. And just a Bob also saying, assuming Grant would come back and for league minimum, you know, I don't know whether he would or not. And I don't think he is. I think he's hoping for more money, but obviously he's not finding much of a market. Ryan Grant isn't, and Cedric Benson didn't either. There's not a whole lot separating these two running backs, you know. I think in time you're going to find out, like I was said, when the regular season starts, there's going to be some kind of rotation between Starks, Green, Sane. Those three guys will be carrying the bulk of the team as long as they're healthy. Now, if they're unhealthy and you got to
you know, go to a guy like Cedric Benson, maybe. But man, I think if the Packers really kind of rely on Benson a lot this year, I'm not sure they're going to get a whole lot out of him, or you're going to get average production out of him. Cheesehead Kevin asks, will Benson play this Thursday? It doesn't appear as if he will. So under the rules of the new collective bargaining agreement, players have to practice twice with no pads on before they can start contact drills, before they can start hitting. So yesterday, Cedric Benson was signed after practice. He was not, you know, signed before practice yesterday, signed after practice, so he's not available. So that means his first two practices will be today. So you'll see him in the first time this afternoon, 11:15 a.m. Central Time. First practice for Cedric Benson in Green Bay. And then he'll practice again tomorrow, same time. And so he'll do both of those in no pads, just shells. He'll wear a helmet. You know, he'll take part in any drill that there's no live tackling. And then, which means, though, he technically would be able to play in Thursday's game. Now, the question is whether the Packers are comfortable or not having him play on Thursday without having practiced at all in pads, without having to be hit at all. And I'm not sure. I mean, maybe the running back situation is so thin that they may actually try to get him in for a couple plays here and there, if for nothing else, to just take reps away from other players and spread out the reps, perhaps, among the few people that will be available. So, again, it's a wait-and-see situation there with Cedric Benson will play this Thursday. I'm doubting it. I just don't think they're going to be comfortable given the time frame, how soon he's been in Green Bay or for how little time he's been in Green Bay. But nothing's been ruled out yet, I guess. The Packers are going into, you know, Thursday's game with Alex Green, as the starting running back, I guess. But he's on a rep count. They're not going to let him play a lot. Mark Tyler is ready and raring to go. He'll be fine. But other than that, those are the only two healthy halfbacks. So, they can use John Kuhn in one-back sets if they need to. They don't particularly want that situation all that often. But there's your, you know, injury situation at running back, which is not particularly helpful or optimal either. Just a Bob on the live blog commenting, don't cut out waiver cuts who could be assumed better than what we have. Ted Thompson is not shy. Yeah, certainly could be a situation, on the last day of training camp or the cut down day, in which the Packers pick up somebody on waivers, albeit you then have a very short time frame to get that person ready for the regular season. Certainly not out of the question, saying that could be happening in the future. So, have we covered the Cedric Benson situation enough? I think we got just about every angle in a short amount of time. And again, I'm not sure what to make of the situation. All things equal, I would assign Ryan Grant, but I don't know the behind-the-scenes things that are going on, and I really don't think it'll be all that big of a deal in a month's time. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before many times, more than I want to admit, but anyhow, let's talk about another interesting position on the Packers roster. The cornerback position, particularly the cornerback position opposite Tremont Williams. Everything's hunky-dory with Tremont Williams. Had the interception in last Thursday's preseason game. He's doing well, seems to be playing well. But the question on the other side opposite him, you know, of course, with Charles Woodson now playing safety in the slot cornerback, there's an opening for a starter opposite Tremont Williams, and we have yet to know who it'll be. It was kind of looking that Devon House would be the starter. looking really good in training camp, in the preseason, you name it, really taking hold of that position, really playing aggressive, physical, doing well in pass coverage, you name it. And then all of a sudden he gets the shoulder injury, and it appears he may only be out as little as 2 or 3 weeks, which means he would be ready for the regular season. But, I mean, the Packers are going to have to live 2 or 3 weeks without him. And, you know, that's 2 or 3 weeks is the minimum with Devon House. There's no guaranteed he's coming back after that. So what the Packers have done, at least for the time being, is insert rookie Casey Hayward into the starting lineup. Perhaps a little bit surprising because to begin training camp, Jarrett Bush was the starter there. But he's kind of since lost that job. You know, he hasn't been doing poorly, but Jarrett Bush hasn't been doing anything to stand out either. Just kind of there, kind of the same Jarrett Bush you've always been accustomed to. You know, up and down, things like that. And so the rookie's getting his chance. And you know, of course, I haven't mentioned yet Sam Shields, a guy who was the Packers' third cornerback last year, has since taken a deep dive off the depth chart. Chad Taporsky on the live blog saying Shields has really fallen. Hayward's starting to make a case over Bush. And Sam Shields right now is injured himself. He's been out for roughly a week with an elbow injury. And apparently, you know, he may come back sometime soon. We don't know whether Sam Shields is going to play in Thursday's game. But for the time being, a rookie is the starter at the right cornerback position on the field. So, you know, who knows how long this is going to last? Just a Bob questioning on the live blog, a harness for Devon House? He just might not be as effective when he comes back. Yeah, if Devon House has to wear a harness, that's going to be tough to play with. He's going to be playing through a lot of pain if Devon House comes back and he's wearing a harness. You know, he's not going to want to tackle all that hard. Kind of perhaps in a situation like Tremont Williams was last year, not really wanting to make all that many tackles. So not an ideal situation there for him. So the Packers turn to Casey Hayward, and we don't know what Casey Hayward is yet. You know, there's only been nothing but positive things said about him during training camp. He hasn't done a whole lot of negatives, which is good, especially for a rookie. He's not out there making mistakes all over the place. And you know, the kind of one knock on him is that he didn't have all that much speed, you know, at least compared to other top corners drafted in the draft this past year. But that it really hasn't seemed to be an issue. Hasn't seemed to let people get behind him, receivers get behind him. He's been beat deep, things like that. Not really. So Casey Hayward doing his best and you know, probably going to get a lot of playing time this upcoming Thursday, the second preseason game, the preseason home opener against the Cleveland Browns, to show what he's got. You know, in that last preseason game, Thursday's against the Chargers, Casey Hayward was a little bit up and down. He did give up one kind of medium-range pass when a receiver did get behind him, was faked out a little bit on a juke move, had a hard time recovering, couldn't get his head around. But he was doing everything in his power just to catch up. And that was kind of the one negative the whole game for Casey Hayward, in my opinion. Otherwise, you know, he broke up another pass, I remember, in the red zone even, you know, blanketing his receivers. You know, but the first game, you know, we're not going to make too many judgments in one preseason game about a rookie. But maybe perhaps over the course of the preseason we can, by the time the end of training camp comes and where he stacks up, whether he deserves to be the starter. You know, it would sure be nice, you know, you're a Packer fan coming from that perspective, that he just, you know, takes the bulls by the horn and just is the unquestioned starter. He's making interceptions, he's making tackles. You hope for that, but I don't think there's any guarantee of it. And so that was a big development yesterday. Casey Hayward getting, you know, playing time with the starters. And then one more position here, want to analyze the left tackle position for the Packers. Of course, you know, Marshall Newhouse has been out with a concussion, although he may come back soon. Derek Sherrod, you know, is on the PUP list, hasn't been practicing, no clue when he's going to return. So last week, again, first preseason game, Herb Taylor's the starting left tackle for the Packers. Up and down performance. Well, what am I saying? That's a euphemism. Mostly down for Herb Taylor. You know, allowing Aaron Rodgers to get hit, struggling the whole game. Man, he was just backing up so much that the pocket was collapsing for Herb Taylor. He would just like step back just so nobody would beat him. But by stepping back so much, the pocket was just getting smaller and smaller all the time. And so the Packers had to do something. So this week they're experimenting. They're checking out rookie tackle Andrew Datko, the seventh-round draft choice, who got off to a slow start to training camp but is kind of coming on now. They're giving him a shot, thinking, hey, he can't be a whole lot worse than Herb Taylor at least, and he's got a whole lot more potential than Herb Taylor, so let's find it out. And then the Packers inserting at left tackle during practice the newly signed veteran Reggie Wells, the former Carolina Panther, the former Arizona Cardinal, getting his chances at left tackle despite just practicing with the Packers this week. You know, he brings a veteran's experience at least. He's got that going for him. He was a full-time starter in the NFL, albeit most of it has come at left guard with the Cardinals. But you know, he's a guy who's been in the trenches before, and at least they can probably rely on him to know what he's doing. Is he still good enough to play left tackle in the NFL? Probably not on a full-time basis, but the Packers perhaps looking to him just to weather the storm. You know, if worse comes to worse, you know, if Newhouse is gone for a game or two and Sherrod is you know, having a hard time coming back, then they'll lean on Reggie Wells. But, you know, the Packers just trying to weather the storm, really. I mean, they want Newhouse back, but you know, they got to get through games without him. You know, the starters are only going to play more and more in the preseason for the next 2 weeks. This game against the Browns, and then the third preseason game, which traditionally the starters play the most. They play really about three quarters of the game. You're at least more than halftime. You know, they kind of, that third preseason game, they want to get Aaron Rodgers and the rest of all the starters healthy. And heck, I mean, if they're playing almost a full game, you know, the third preseason game, and Marshall Newhouse still isn't back, we hope he is, but if he's not, you know, they got to get through with someone. Someone's got to play left tackle, and we don't know who it's going to be, whether it's going to be Herb Taylor, Andrew Datko, Reggie Wells, or who knows, maybe even Brian Bulaga. They could move him over there. We've talked about that before, where they can do a whole lot of shifting. You know, Bulaga at left tackle, move TJ Lang to right tackle, Evan Dietrich Smith to guard. We'll see. We'll see. Interesting times in the world of the Green Bay Packers right now. Training camp. It's hard to believe all these injuries. Just really, it seems like there's a lot of injuries right now. And heck, we haven't even mentioned Desmond Bishop on the show. And I mean, everybody knows the situation with him. I mean, it doesn't look good. A guy whose season could be ended, and if it's not, it's at least going to be late in the season until Desmond Bishop returns. So, unfortunate situation with there. Packers trying to, you know, get through training camp with as few injuries as possible here, but they're having a hard time doing so. And that's where we leave you this morning here on Railbird Central. We'll be back once again on Wednesday. I'm going to hope to have a guest on the show. I'm trying to line that up. But for the time being, thank you everybody so much for joining us here this morning. Make sure to check back Cheesehead TV all week long for all your Packers news needs. And we'll see you later, everyone. I'll leave you today with a song called Believe the Lie by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you, everyone. Go, Pack, go.